Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Just recently, the United States of America decided to reopen trade with a place called Cuba. And according to this article, Wednesday's announcement followed more than a year of secret talks between U.S. and Cuban officials in Canada and guess where else? All right, each way, take a shot, Kenny. Take a shot, Ruth. Guess where else?
Most likely Iraq.
Maybe. Oh, not Iraq. Ruth, what do you think?
Russia?
All right, here we go. And that city which thou saw, that city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Oh, probably Rome.
Yes, the Vatican.
Yeah, in the
woman which thou saw, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. U.S. officials said Pope Francis was personally engaged in the process and sent separate letters to Obama and Castro this summer urging them to restart relations. Yeah. Okay, Lord, without sauce, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Okay, start off here. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read down from verse 18, 28. All right, St. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 18. This is right now, this is not so much the message. This is just reading from a devotional here, but I think it's worth going through here. Starting in verse 18 of St. Luke 18, talking on total surrender. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none is good save one, that is God. Now the North Commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. So all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.
Yes, he did.
When he heard this, he was very sorrowful. He was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. On October 19, 1781, British General Charles Cornwallis found himself surrounded at Yorktown by General Washington and his American troops. Knowing the inevitable, General Cornwallis agreed to surrender to Washington. As was custom to military etiquette, General Cornwallis was to surrender his sword to General Washington, symbolizing a complete surrender and ceasing of fighting. General Washington went out to meet General Cornwallis, but instead found General O'Hara Cornwallis' second in command. General O'Hara claimed that General Cornwallis was ill and could not attend. You see, General Cornwallis was filled with pride and would not personally surrender his sword to Washington, and attempted to give it to someone other than him. O'Hara reluctantly offered the sword to Washington, who, knowing what was taking place, refused it. The sword would be returned to Cornwallis and lost in history forever. No one knows the whereabouts of the unsurrendered sword today. You see, though Cornwallis knew he couldn't fight and win against Washington, he refused to personally surrender to him. Washington wouldn't accept, nor should he have anything but Cornwallis' personal surrender? How many believers try to do the same thing to God today? We know we cannot fight God and expect anything but defeat, and yet still be hold back from full surrender. In our text, a rich young ruler refused to part with what was his own to follow the Lord and went away sorrowful. Peter gives us the proper attitude in verse 28. Well, we have left all and followed thee. Can we say the same? Tell me that wasn't a message in and of itself. Full, total surrender. I must confess, Kenny, it's too bad that Emily got hit like that and went out, because I was actually going to go out of my way, not, you know, to minister, you know, in light of what she's going through, and I'm sure it would have ministered to you and Ruth as well, but I guess since she's out of it and can't hear anything, oh well, I just have to get along here.
Tim, don't worry,
yep.
We're recording it.
I heard you.
Okay, because he was just dropping
the. Here we go. St. Luke, chapter 14. Starting in verse 25. Going down here to verse 27, I believe this is fitting. Well, the situation that Emily herself finds herself in, and we ourselves have been there. Starting in verse 25 of St. Luke 14, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so, here we're talking about full surrender, and that's surrendering to Christ and the cross that he bestows on us individually. In this case, it pertains to having to hate and forsake our own flesh and blood for his cause. You know, Emily herself finds herself, as I know I have in the past, and I'm sure you have, in a position where she has to choose whether she is going to serve her flesh and blood, albeit her mother, or if she's going to serve Jesus Christ. She, no doubt, has done a very good job, as much as lied in her, to serve her mother. And while we ought to serve our own flesh and blood as much as we can while we serve Christ, we are never to serve them at the expense of serving Christ. As Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. When I think of separation, there's obviously been a separation between Emily and her mother. I'm reminded of how Abraham had to separate from his own flesh and blood, his nephew, Lot, and in the separation from his nephew, Lot, I'm reminded of the exhortation that as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so, we see a situation here with Emily and her mother, where she needs to do as much as lieth in her to live peaceably with all men, and that including her mother. And in this case, living peaceably with all men, and that her mother, does seem to mean that she needs to relocate in the manner that she is doing at this time. And even as it is in the best interest of her walk with Jesus Christ to do just that, she needs to hate the mother in the very context of which Jesus himself declared in St. Luke 14, verse 26. I would say if that's a verse, there's one verse of scripture right there that I would encourage Emily to memorize within the next week. It's that verse right there, St. Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let us remember, Jesus hated his own life to the point of death. We might gain life eternal, life more abundantly through him. How dare we love our own lives? How dare we not hate our own lives in the context which he declared we are supposed to in the context of Luke 14, verse 26? We are either going to be the disciples of Christ or we're going to be merely the disciples of men. Turn to Isaiah. On that note, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28, I believe it is. Isaiah 28. Actually, Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, starting in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 29. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers. The seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Again, we will either be the disciples of Christ, or we will be merely the disciples of men. If we are not willing to hate our own father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, our own life also, we will inevitably end up catering to and serving flesh and blood and not God who is spirit. And we will be all the more, therefore, led by flesh and blood and not by God who is spirit. And therefore, we will be all the more taught by flesh and blood and not by God who is spirit. And at best, our fear toward God by the precept of men. You know, what is legalism? Legalism is nothing more than man's fear of God being taught by the precept of men. Pastoral authority. Now, here's something here for you to think about. Pastoral authority, as commonly taught today, leads men to believe God's word because of what men say about God's word. But men should believe God's word because of what his word says about himself. Say John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure, he is a shield unto them, put their trust in him. Add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee and not be found a liar. But again, pastoral authority is commonly taught today. Lead men to believe what God's word says because of what men say about God's word. But men should believe God's word because of what his word says about himself. First Thessalonians 2:13 alludes to this. The Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you to believe. So here we see the Apostle Paul writing under inspiration of God, thanking God, Church of Thessalonica, received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you to believe. You see, what men can persuade you to believe, men can also persuade you not to believe. But when God persuades you to believe, you will not be persuaded by men. When God has persuaded you to believe, you will not be persuaded by men to not believe. One more reason why we see, as it were, amongst professing Christians, those who Peter would define as dogs returning to their own vomit, sows that are washed and they're wallowing in the mire. It's because nowadays, especially in the name of what's known as easy believism, there are a lot of individuals who would receive the gospel, but they would receive it as the word of men, not as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in us to believe. And even as these converts are merely persuaded by men, receiving the word of God as the word of men, even as they are offended in men, they end up being offended in God. So, I've been persuaded, not of men, but of God. And that is why, by his grace, I have taken up my cross for Jesus Christ, and I will continue to take up my cross for Jesus Christ. Have you been persuaded by God? If you've been persuaded by God, I believe his grace will always, I know his grace will always prove sufficient to enable you in taking up whatever cross you are called to bear for him, for his name's sake, and for Emily at this time, that cross would mean imply a separation from her mother, however painful that separation may be. Even as she, I trust, has been persuaded of God, and she's received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, I know God's grace will prove sufficient to enable her in taking up this cross and having to hate her mother in the very context in which Jesus spoke, that she herself might be all the more a disciple of Christ, and all the more of a testimony, and all the more of a salty savor to her mother. I'll be the testimony to her mother from a distance. Okay, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. The Lord says, "Fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." It is written in Psalms, once have God spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. May we look to the Lord our God in the name of Jesus Christ for the power that he possesses and he is able to give. Take up our cross at all times, even when that cross means having to hate our own flesh and blood. May we seek him for the power. Take up that cross for him. And I have a holy love for him. Hate what he tells us to hate. Hate who he tells us to hate in the context that he tells us to hate them. Knowing that he has said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God is the one who inspired that man of God to write, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Even as he inspired that apostle to write that, he will give the wisdom and he will give the strength to live that. If we just look to him for that strength and for that wisdom to know when we need to back off and to let go of a particular situation. And that leads to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verse 1. "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation." My soul wait thou only upon God, for my strength is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. So, wait. Be still and know that I am God, is what the Lord is saying right now to us. And trust him with our loved ones, knowing as it says in Psalm 62, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Mercy belongs unto the Lord. May we seek him, that he might show mercy to our loved ones, that he would honor our hating of them in the very context of which he says, and according to his word, he says, I will honor them that honor me. Plead his promise. In light of our willingness to hate our loved ones in the context of which he says, that he might all the more honor our obedience in hating in such a manner by showing mercy to them. And I'll share this testimony. When I lived up here 11, going on 12 years ago, I lived up here in Staten Island 11, 12 years ago, going on thereabouts, a group of believers came down from this other assembly and joined the assembly that I was going to at that time. And we went out into the city to evangelize. And things had already at that point, you know, prior to that, things were kind of, rocky with my family because, you know, I had gotten saved. I had gotten born again by the grace of God in March of 1995. And I was very outspoken about what my Savior and Lord had done in my very being, in my very life. And I let them know, you must be born again. And as you can imagine, they were not all that thrilled about it at the time, first. Well, anyways, I had moved to Staten Island. Here we were evangelizing. And I'm with this group. Some of us are holding up signs. You must be born again. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we're in the midst of singing a hymn. And we're singing nothing but the blood. And we come to the end. It was like singing through the chorus one last time there. And, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I look to the side, and here is my Aunt Linda and my cousin Lisa in the middle of New York City. I didn't know they were coming up. Never said a word to me. Never said a word to them about going out there to evangelize that day for Jesus. But as a man's heart devises the way, the Lord directed his steps. So here, God had us cross paths that day, and just had us cross paths when I was with a bunch of believers lifting up his son, Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So, I moved up to Staten Island, New York. Things had already been a little, like I said, a little touchy with my loved ones. They were not all that receptive to the truth. So I move away. There's a separation. There's not much communication, But here God is worth. And I can still remember going up. Oh, my Aunt Linda, she was so emotional. She was almost bawling like a baby. And I remember going up and hugging her and my cousin. And all that went through my mind was, what a seed. It's like the Lord was just saying, what a seed. It's all about something they're never going to forget. You're always going to be able to just, remind them of. And be like, hey, it's like God was saying something that day. I can't say that they've officially gotten saved yet, but I'll tell you what. That's one seed right there that I'm persuaded went down and went down deep. And that's one seed the enemy is not going to be able to pluck away by the grace of God. Not that one. No way. So, I say all that to say this. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Be still. Know that he is God. Sister Emily, know that as you are faithful, trust him with your mother. Even as I trusted my loved ones with him, so even as he was faithful to work in the hearts and the lives of my loved ones, we thank the Lord in the heart and in the life of your mother, your loved ones, that you are willing forsake them, hate them in the context in which he said, and trust them with him alone. Wait upon him. Wait upon him, knowing that your expectation is from him.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians. Oh, but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.